Sunday, when we looked at the Trinity, we decided that the Trinity was capable of the same things. The Trinity has feelings. The Trinity wants for us and desires for us. And so if we are created in God's image, we have the same things that the Trinity has to offer. We have a spirit, right? But also, God talks about being able to see. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord spoke to others. The Lord hears us when we speak. The Lord hears or heard Moses. And we are like that as well. We can speak and we can hear. We are not evolved animals. Right? We are humans uniquely formed by a loving and personal God. And in the beginning, we were created without sin. But Genesis 3 tells the story, remember? And as a result of that, sin entered the world. Immorality, sickness, hatred, death came in the world because of Adam and Eve's disobedience. And now the whole world is under the condemnation of sin. Right? And if you look at Romans 3:23, what does it say? It's a basic salvation verse. We talk about it all the time. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We're all born into it. And then Romans 5:12 says, just as therefore sin entered into the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death comes to all men because all have sinned. It says we have sinned. We are all liars. We are all those people. We are all sinners, and we're born that way. And no matter how hard a person tries to escape the sin nature, we can't do it. We can't do it. We're pushed and we're pushed and we're pushed, and then we will sin. Some of us have to be pushed harder than others. Some of us, all we have to do is be blown in that direction, and we sin. So we're condemned. As sinners, we're condemned. We are fallen. We are condemned to an eternity in hell. I know that sounds pretty harsh, right? But God says there's a way out, right? And this sin condemns us to an eternity, but because of sin, every man and woman and boy and girl on earth is stuck and going to go there. But what hope do we have? Look at 2 Corinthians. This is where we have a long set of verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting at verse 20. Here we go. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, is what it says. And as though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. It is possible for us to be reconciled to God, right? As it says in Scripture, and God made him who had no sin, who's talking about there? Jesus, right? Who had no sin, to be sin for us, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in all the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the day of salvation. He's saying, today is the day. Our only hope is to be reconciled through Jesus Christ. Reconciled to God. That's our only hope. And by the grace of God, we have, and through the grace of God and faith in Jesus Christ, we can have this. And the greatest truth that we can understand for ourselves, and the greatest truth that we can understand about man, is that we are hopelessly lost without it. We're hopelessly lost without God's grace. And God sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, that we would all be saved. You know, and all mankind would be lost. Sin is not regional, it's all over the place. I'm seeing our nation revert to violence because they've gone backwards in their understanding of what is right. We got people standing up, saying they're standing up for what's right and committing sin and treachery because they're standing up and saying, this is my right. There ain't nothing right about it. I don't care what side of the desk you're on, what side of the aisle you're on, it doesn't matter. This behavior is not evolution, it's devolution. D-E-V-I-L, Ushin. That is what we're doing. We're actually glorifying Satan in our sin when we react this way. There's nothing glorifying about God in the way we respond. right? Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I formed, I made. Every time God saves a sinner, it's for his glory. It's for his glory. And we're to glorify God when we're saved. That's the point. So when you glorify God when you're saved, you keep glorifying God in your movements every day of your life. You glorify God at work. You glorify God at breakfast. You glorify God at lunch. You glorify God at the grocery store. You glorify God when you drive down the road. How do you do that? Maybe you better drive better. Maybe you ought to be nicer to the lady who checks out at Safeway or wherever you shop. You know, there's some things that we do that represent Jesus Christ. And listen, we have redemption window stickers, and I love that we can advertise. But if you're going to drive like a maniac, don't put a bumper sticker that has our church name on it. Right? Better yet, put a bumper sticker on there and drive right. You know, watch your language. My mom used to say, watch your phraseology. Like, phraseology? What is that? She said, I'll show you what phraseology is in a moment. And then it gets violent after that. You don't want to hear the rest of that story. But I'll tell you, we have to watch what we say and how we say it. Exercise some control. Every time that God saves a sinner, he is saved to his glory. And it's by his grace and mercy. Ephesians 2:8-9 says what? It's basic. It says, for the grace of God you have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What he's saying is that you can't do anything to get into heaven. You can put all the godly bumper stickers on your car you want, but that's not going to get you into heaven anyways. You know, you can give all the money you want to the poor or to the church or to whoever. It's not going to get you into heaven. What does it say? It says, for by grace you've been saved. So our purpose in life is not to glorify ourselves. That's our purpose in life. So the Bible tells us that man was created in a perfect state of fellowship with our Creator. Sin makes us selfish, turns our heart towards ourselves, right? And our own selfish desires. And when we did that, we broke fellowship with the Lord. Because just think about it this way. You're walking side by side with the woman that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. I'm speaking as a man because that's what I did. I walk side by side. And I want what she wants. Why? Because I want to spend the rest of my life with her. But the moment I turn and start doing what I want, and I turn my back on whoever it is that I'm walking side by side with, and I become interested in what I want, I put myself in a disadvantage in that relationship. So we are walking side by side with the Lord, and you all of a sudden decide you're going to take a left turn or a right turn. You're going to step away from God for a moment. He's going to stand there and wait for you, because that's what he does, right? But he wants us to be restored to him. He wants us to be restored to him. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do we have it on there? If we don't, it's in your Bible. This is a verse that you should leave here and memorize. All right? This is what it says. So, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. When you go to work, are you doing it for the glory of God, or are you doing it just to pay bills? Now, you might as well grab a check while you're there, but you should do it for the glory of God. And if you're at a place, and I will give you some not-so-savvy business advice, but some very good spiritual advice. If you're at a place where you cannot work for the glory of God, quit your job. Why would I tell you that? If anything takes you away from the glory of God, it's sin. And once you put your job ahead of the glory of God, you're sinning. And so I will say to you, if you can't glorify God in your work, don't do it. It's pretty simple. So what does that mean? Does that mean I go unemployed? No, it means that God's got something better for you, but you have to trust him to step out and do that. Right? God says that we're lost. And so he saved us. It's the greatest thing we could have ever gotten. You don't think he can pluck you from hell, but he can't provide you with a decent job? That's not possible. God can provide you with a decent job. God can provide you. Maybe the job's not a good job, but it's something you can go there because God needs you there. You know? I can't tell you the ins and outs of your job, but if you were to sit down and talk with us for any length of time, I could sit down and tell you exactly what it is that you're missing that makes your job unhappy. Oh, it's easy for you to say, Pastor, you get a job where you get to hang out with God all day long. That's great, right? Well, listen, I got stress in my life too. The coffee maker takes 45 seconds to heat up. I'm just kidding, about a minute and a half. But what I'm saying is you can serve God. I've had my share of jobs that I was miserable in, okay? And I've had to quit some of those jobs. You know, how many of you knew that I used to sell lingerie? I can't believe it. I was a sinner saved by grace, right? So, I was in this job and I was miserable. I mean, I was making money, but I was miserable. I couldn't find joy, right? You know why? I was doing it for the money. I wasn't doing it for the glory of God. Not my favorite time in life, you know? So the question I have for you this morning is, have you come to the terms of your own life where you recognize the sinful nature of who you are and what we desire and how our desires don't always line up with God and that you need God's forgiveness? Are you to that point yet? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you don't, none of this makes any sense to you because you can't give your life to Christ in your job if you haven't given your heart to Christ in your life. Because you can't do one without the other. It doesn't work. So some of you have been coming to church here for, you know, we've been around for 2 years now. You've been coming to church at Redemption since we started. Some of us were at Lincoln Street. Some of you have just gotten here within the last year or 6 months, and I don't know when you made your decision to follow Christ, or maybe you haven't. And today's the day you say, you know what, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to decide to accept Jesus Christ, my Savior. Put your pride aside and recognize that that pride is just going to get in the way of you making it right with Jesus. I've seen elders and deacons and pastors get saved. Because it does happen. Because we play this game. Second Corinthians chapter 6. As God's co-workers, I don't think you have this, so you have to look it up or write it down. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my failure, this is Paul writing, I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. In quotations, that's what God says. I tell you, this is Paul, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. So we spend so much time looking for God's favor when we haven't really accepted God's salvation. And we expect God's favor because of the things we do. If you do this, you'll have God's favor. Sad. But today's a football day, so I will tell you a football story, okay? One that I'm sure you're aware of, Tim Tebow, right? Somebody said, oh, he's got favor with God. That's why he's winning ball games. Why isn't he still winning? Did he step out of favor with God? No. But what equate favor with? I was listening to a pastor speak one time, and he said, I was so stressed. I needed God's favor. I got on the freeway, and lo and behold, it was jam-packed, and I got in the third lane, and every car moved over for me. And I had a straight lane. I didn't have to slow down. I got to my appointment on time. I am so favored by God. I thought, really? That's all it takes? Listen, I can't tell you what favor is in your life. But I can tell you that if you don't have salvation, that stuff you think is favor isn't favor. It's just luck of the draw. You know? And I'm not belittling your traffic situation. I've been in traffic. I know what it's like. But I will say to you that you don't get to experience God's favor if you don't have a relationship with Him. You know? No relationship with your parents. You don't get the tree, Christmas presents, right? You don't get those good things from God if you don't have a relationship with God. Well, that seems kind of anti-God, doesn't it? Well, here's what I do when I'm praying for somebody to get saved. I pray that God would perform a miracle in their life so they can see nothing but God in it. Then they recognize that only God could have done that, because He desires a relationship with us. And it was nothing that they did in themselves. So, I will say to you this morning, what are you doing that you're expecting God to do a favor in return when you don't have a relationship with Him? Get that right. If you do that, you'll have a restored relationship with Him. Get the joy of your salvation, right? Remember what it was the day you got saved, and that it was just like a burden lifted? That's the best feeling in the world, to have a burden lifted, right? So get to that point. So this morning, as we get to the end of this service, if you need to make a profession of faith, this is where we do that. What's a profession of faith? Well, let me tell you, it's simply that, saying, I have faith in Jesus Christ, and I will ask Him to forgive me and come into my heart and change my life and make me the kind of person He wants me to be. That's a profession of faith. As Ron said, it's driving a stake in the ground and saying, this is the day. What did Paul say? This is the day of salvation. So make that happen. And if you're saved and you're thinking something's missing, maybe you need to rediscover the joy of that salvation. Because maybe your job is miserable. Maybe you're saved and you have a job where you're miserable. Maybe you need to change your attitude about your job. Maybe change the reason why you're there, you know. I don't know. But you got to give that to Jesus. If you're trying to make it on your own, you're never going to make it. Because you can't do it. It is impossible of yourself to have victory. Even in the world, you need to have family. You need to have Jesus Christ with you. Amen. That's how it works. Why? Because of this relationship we have with Him. God created us. He created us to fellowship with Him and walk side by side. But you can't do it in yourself. And the great thing about walking side by side with somebody is when you start to fall, He's got you. You know? He's got you. I've been binge-watching Hawaii Five-0. Now, I know that I shouldn't. But every time somebody gets shot, his partner's right there, and they always get on each other, and they come out of the hole, and they're all excited. Why? Because they had somebody there to hold them up. And you have somebody this morning that will hold you up, and that's Jesus Christ. You ready for that? They're going to play a song and sing. You're going to sing with them. Make a decision if you want. Don't make a decision. This is your time. Let's pray. Father, we thank You.